I take my text this morning from the Church's Divine Office of Prime. Her morning prayer, recited when the sun has fully risen, the 117th Psalm at the 23rd verse. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful in our eyes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What has he done these days of woe for us, which we could ever say is wonderful in our eyes? The poet expresses the wish that we could see ourselves as others see us. Now imagine if it were given to us today to be seen by all as God sees us from the perspective of eternity, and as God will judge us when time is no more. To see ourselves as sometimes the priest in the shadows of the confessional is permitted to glimpse for one terrifying instant of recognition and reality before the saving words of absolution and their soothing forgiveness wash away the sins from our soul. To see ourselves as we are seen by God before the judgment at the end. At the end of our lives, says the little flower, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, at the end of our lives we shall be judged on love. I believe that in the last days and weeks, we at our church have been judged by God. And this is a grace for those who still have more time. This is the grace, the wonderful thing the Lord has done, which spills forth from the crisis which so afflicts our hearts. We hear the crunch and the crash of breaking glasses. Our facades fall. And the congregation of this church stands revealed before God and neighbor in the shame of its nakedness, Adam and Eve-like, caught in sin. Diligis me, our Lord asks, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. See all of my prayers, and see how careful I have been to condemn all of those whom I know love thee not. Lovest thou me? No, because then thou wouldst have loved the least or the greatest of thy brethren. I think that this is what has happened here. Anyone who has been first carried away by the plague, the poison of hatred or of criticism or of resentment, the refusal to forgive, the cold cruelty of that morbid curiosity we call gossip, has been taken away, a kind of an anti-rapture, if you will. I do not speak today of the flashpoint sins, anger, impatience, nor of the sins of the flesh, nor of weak wills. I speak rather of the carefully guarded toxin of hatred, which was found in this congregation and directed against it and its work and its clergy and its bishops. And yes, against our school, and our lovely and loving staff, and our seminary, and its good bishop. Anyone who has harbored, it could have started, you know, with just some hurt, but which festered, perhaps unknowingly, due to a want of examination of conscience, of due spiritual advertence, some excess of self-indulgence in this matter, of sins against charity, about which I have been preaching without much result now for almost exactly a year. But now, during these extraordinary days of grace of our patron saint, St. Albert the Great, and St. Gertrude the Great, and of our anniversaries, souls stand revealed. And I am horrified, and I am humbled. And like Sem, I lower my eyes, and I do not want to see so many pious and generous and prayerful and devout folk exposed all of the secret wounds of their souls, which they have perhaps nourished now a long time, exposed an image so ugly, so heavy, and so sharp, this poison, that the cloud exploded and has borne them away. But the cloud, toxic gases, will soon dissipate. This is my word of confidence for all of you today. It does take some victims with it, it is true, but eventually comes the fresh air, and it passes, as all things are passing here below. But how did this singular act of the divine justice in our midst, of some of the choicest and the best souls, how did it come about for those who refused or who limited his mercy? It must be, I am thinking, so heinous a thing to harbor hatred against one's spiritual home, one's father in Christ, or one's family, and to harbor it all boiled down to some small, half-forgotten vial of the soul's poison. A jealousy, maybe, some suspicion, some refusal to forgive the church or the school or its clergy or its seminary, its good priests or lay workers. This church, which has given, with your help, so much glory to God, this church, which has saved some of the very souls who now do not blush to take up a bat and to try to knock it down. And this church, which has saved countless other souls in the mercy of the divine plan of the latter days. Here the church is eclipsed and we stumble about in darkness, but still the work gets done. And not only here, but in foreign lands, directly and indirectly, our souls being saved today because of the work of this church, which has by some been judged so inadequate and so sinful. It must be, and I tremble at the thought, so grave a sin of ingratitude to the good God, and so unspeakable a blasphemy against our Lord and God who signs his name love, that this same good God could suffer it no longer in our midst. Out, he says. But he, like his priests, never say those words to a sinner, but always to the sin. And how did all of this, our sad state of affairs, this anniversary weekend, how did it come about? there came into our midst, as so often before, a young man, a foreigner, a priest from another land, like so many others, meant to help us for a time and to be helped by us in turn. But this one was different. He turned almost from the start to be a kind of a Pied Piper of Hamelin Town, if you will. He knew, he sensed, he smelt resentment and hatred. The littlest mustard seed he sniffed out, and then he approached and he played the tomb, customized music to some ears. Whatever the resentment was, he was able to pipe that melody. For some, he did it daily, and for others, just once. And at a certain point, others picked up the melody and started playing in his diabolic symphony orchestra. Playing on whatever poison was harbored in the hearts of each man or woman or child. Perhaps something half forgotten. That odd attraction which hatred holds for human hearts who harbor it in the long term. But now the mirror is smashed and the true face has emerged, and it is not a beautiful sight, but still it is passing. It is passing. And in our own hearts, we feel a sense of relief and something approaching that peace, which the apostle says passeth all understanding. Well, we feel too poverty today, literally perhaps a lower Sunday attendance, and certainly it will be felt a bit in the offering basket. And this too had been planned for months and months, as was every detail of this campaign I have discovered. It was planned not by some priest, some poor priest, or by some people in collusion with him. It was planned by the prince of this world, the one below who seethes with resentment and hatred. But the crushing poverty we feel today is for those who have left. And some of them are scared, and thus they've scattered. And some are struggling themselves with some mental or emotional ailment, and they cannot bear any more. And others, well, they have been bitten by the bug, just a bit or a bunch, to which they were exposed, from which they did not defend themselves. And we have been robbed of our brethren, and of our cross, and of our crown, and they perhaps of the opportunity of amendment before the end. But such is the inscrutable will of God. This was done by the Lord, and to our eyes it is full of wonder. We are horrified and humbled to see such hatred exuding from the pores of those whom we thought we knew. And if God judged so severely and so suddenly in this life the secret hatred of our hearts, for hatred is the fetid breath of hell, however shall we stand the last judgment, do you think, that dies magna et amara valde we sing about when we give the absolution over the dead, that great day and exceedingly bitter? How shall we stand? Diliges, thou shalt love. If there were a tiny part of my heart which did not love God with every fiber of its being, and therefore neighbor too, for his sake, I would rip it out. These are the words of the good, gentle bishop of Geneva, St. Francis de Sales. And these are days of grace. The days of Gertrude the Great and Albert the Great have come around again. Wouldn't today be a great day to start ripping? I conclude my sermon in an unusual way, and I beg your indulgence. If you are able to, may I ask you please to kneel down. And to recite with me in your heart or by memory the act of charity. O my God, I love thee above all things with my whole heart and soul, because thou art all good and worthy of all love. I love my neighbor as myself for the love of thee. I forgive all who have injured me and ask pardon of all whom I have injured. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.